Welcome back, guys. DGS on Ken Wex 205. Going to talk to our buddy Jeff Smith here, former state senator, professor, lobbyist. Jeff, how you doing, my buddy?
I'm good. How are you, Dave?
Doing well.
Good to talk to you.
You too. So you are my original Kamala Harris friend. You have been talking about Kamala for as long as we've known each other, back before she was much of a player at all. So tell us your story and connection with Kamala.
I met her at a wedding about 20 years ago in San Francisco, I guess 18 years ago now. And actually, Gavin Newsom was at that same wedding. So that was before he had achieved sobriety, which I think he's proud to have been sober for over a decade now. Anyway, they were kind of, frenemies, might be the best way to put it, in San Francisco politics. He was the mayor. She was the DA. And now, at a very, very high level in American politics, they're both interested in the presidency, but it looks like Gavin Newsom has kind of stepped aside to make way for Vice President Harris. And it really appears over the last 24 hours that the Democratic Party as a whole seems to be uniting around her. Isn't that your sense?
100% at warp speed. I mean, you still have some big holdouts like Obama, but Pelosi just came out a couple of hours ago. It really does feel like, and then Manchin floated a trial balloon and literally popped it 25 minutes later on a different network. It really feels like everyone's coalescing.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Democratic Party just went through 25 of its worst days in modern times after President Biden's performance in that debate. There was just sort of a mass realization that we can't, if we really believe what we say, that democracy is at stake here, given Donald Trump's activities in the wake of the 2020 election, where he, orchestrated the creation of these fake elector slates in seven different states, tried to have those fake elector votes delivered to Mike Pence on Capitol Hill. Then we all saw what happened on January 6th when Mike Pence refused to accept those fake elector slates. The fact that a president of the United States went in for a 2-month-long scheme to try to overturn an election, that's a big deal. But if Democrats really believe that is a big deal, then we couldn't conceivably put up someone with Joe Biden's weaknesses and inability to effectively rebut the things that Donald Trump was saying in that debate. So I'm glad to see him step aside. I think there are some Democrats have a really strong bench right now. Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania, Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, Gavin Newsom, who I already mentioned, and Pete Buttigieg, former, mayor, current secretary of transportation. There's a lot of stars on the Democratic bench, but I think it was probably in the interest of the party after the last 25 very difficult days to say, we're ready to just get behind Vice President Harris. Hopefully she picks one of the people I just mentioned who will compliment her on the ticket and get ready to unify and take it to Trump in this abbreviated campaign since it's, almost August, and she's going to be having to stand up a presidential campaign in record time.
Yeah, it seemed like there was an overall suppression with Joe Biden after the debate. I certainly had my own. We all had our own personal experiences with that. Sort of like the way that when the Cardinals suck, there's an overall, you're not going to get $3 million, you're getting 2.5, and if you keep sucking, you're only going to get $2 million. It was just an overall sort of downing. What groups would you think that Kamala would be able to bring back in, and what groups may she struggle with?
It's a great question. There's three groups that kind of immediately come to mind where Democrats, at least Biden, has been lagging traditional Democratic performance over the last couple cycles, where I think she can help. One group where I think she has challenges. The three places I think she can help are young voters, Black voters, and Asian voters. With young voters, polling that I've seen show her unfavorable ratio to be about 15 points better than what Biden's was. And if Democrats don't win by double digits among voters 18 to 29, it's hard to put together a winning coalition. So I think energizing young voters, in particular, young women for whom reproductive rights are a major issue and an issue where Democrats, one of the only issues, candidly, Dave, where Democrats have a big advantage this election cycle because of the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the Dobbs decision, which Trump has taken credit for. I think they're a demographic where Kamala Harris can help. A second one would be Black voters. We've seen historic levels, at least in modern times, of support for the Republican nominee, maybe even getting into the 18 to 20% range in a lot of polling for Trump among Black voters. If Trump sustains 20% support among Black voters, Democrats will lose the election. Though that demographic is critical in Atlanta, in Philadelphia, in Detroit, in Milwaukee, in probably, the four most important states of this election, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. If Republicans get 20% of the Black vote, Democrats won't win. Kamala Harris, who would be historic as the first female Black president, I think could make a big difference because the vote in the Black community tends to be skewed towards women, about, 57-58% female versus male. And so she could help with really the base, energizing the base of the Democratic Party. And then finally, as a person of South Asian descent, hopefully she can, help in that community as well. The demographic I think she could struggle with potentially where Biden is doing better than expected is among seniors. Clearly, the constant attacks on his age from Republicans, I think, offended some seniors. And that combined with the messaging around democracy and the threat that Trump constitutes has helped Biden, was helping Biden do a little bit better than expected among the oldest age group, the so-called boomers, as my children like to call me, even though I'm not one. he's been doing well. And let's see if she can have that same appeal, which she has yet to show among that demographic.
Isn't it funny how kids are? Jeff Smith is one of the coolest, most handsome guys I know. And yet to his kids, it's just like, okay, boomer.
Yeah.
Boomer. I'm kind of a big deal. I'm up for a major award, and my kids, they couldn't care less.
You boomer?
No, they call me other things. Rachel, you had a question for Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff, what do you say to Republicans? I think House Speaker Mike Johnson is among one of them, saying that since Joe Biden is stepping down from running for re-election, he needs to step down from the presidency. What do you say to them? What do you think the Biden team's messaging should be there?
That's a good question. Just because someone decides that they can't do a job 4 years from now doesn't mean that they can't do a job today. So that would be the first thing, that I would say is just, I think his public messaging and Democrats' public messaging should be like, look, we're not blind. Okay. We all have seen that President Biden has slowed down some, in the parlance of basketball that I love to play, he's lost a step, but he's got a great team around him. He's got a solid record. He's got the wisdom and judgment that comes with age and experience. And he's going to try to do his best to run through the tape these last few months here, with the acknowledgement that he's already said publicly that, he doesn't feel confident that 4 years from now he would be able to perform at this level. It doesn't mean, he and his and the great team he's assembled in the White House and in the cabinet can continue and hopefully try to bring an end to the conflict in the Middle East as a crowning achievement for their term, a term which has seen a lot of big achievements. The passage of a $1 trillion infrastructure bill, historic investments in our roads and transportation systems, the passage of the semiconductor, the CHIPS Act to bring manufacturing of computer chips back here so that China doesn't control that critical market. There's a lot of really important things that, that this administration has gotten done. And as he, you know, makes his way, you know, to the exits, we shouldn't forget that, you know, people, historians, I think, will look back at the last century and say, you know, FDR was an extremely consequential president. LBJ was an extremely consequential president. And I think Biden's legislative achievements were substantial. They may not be quite in the ranks of FDR and LBJ, but they'll be close.
You know, going back to law school, this is one of those things like kind of be careful what you wish for, because let's say Biden did step down. Well, now you're running against President Kamala Harris and whatever vice president she picks, which I think would be much worse. It would be a short time, but she would be established as the president of the United States. People just say foolish things.
Look, in a lot of respects, Dave, the Republicans right now are the dog that caught the car, right? Mm. They hammered on Biden's age so hard that he ended up stepping down, and now they've got a nominee that they're, you can tell from what they're saying online, that's not what they wanted. You know, they saw Biden's polling. They were confident that they could beat him. They saw his performance in the first debate, and they thought, let's make sure that we keep him now. But they'd already, you know, hammered it so hard that they end up, you know, being the dog that caught the car. It's very similar with the, you know, Dobbs decision. They talked about being pro-life so long. I don't think they actually expected that a decision that was that transformative for the country, such that in many states, like in Missouri, it's basically impossible to get an abortion at this point under any circumstances. So I think Republicans have to totally change their game plan. And, you know, I don't know if I answered your question there, Dave.
Yeah.
What was your exact question?
No, you answered it. We also got a question.
Yeah, so Jeff, when you're looking at breaking these types of things down, you know, we hear a lot about appealing to different groups. We hear about swing voters a lot in these types of election years, especially in presidential election years. What do you think is the bigger factor? The team, you know, the Republicans or the Democrats, the team that can get the most turnout, or the people that can change or sway those in the middle to swing and vote on that side for this election?
That's such a great question. And it's
yes,
like, it's like the biggest question in American politics.
I wasted my time with that last one.
and then I forgot your question, because like my kids say, you know, I'm cringe. I'm a boomer. Right. But when strategists kind of do their electoral math, that you're right, they think about two things. How can we juice turnout among our base, and how can we sway swing voters? The story of American elections in 2018, 2020, 2021, 2022, the last several cycles, has really been swing voters. People typically in the suburbs, because in urban areas, people are overwhelmingly Democratic. In rural areas, people are overwhelmingly Republican. So those swing areas tend to be, you know, middle class suburban areas. And that demo has gone overwhelmingly against Trump in 2018 as a response to the first 2 years of his presidency, in 2020 during his reelection. And then right before the 2022 midterms, a lot of people thought it's going to be a red tsunami. And then Trump kind of made it about him, thinking that there was going to be a big Republican win. And instead of letting that happen, he was all over the news. He recruited candidates in these key races, like Herschel Walker in Georgia, who didn't have a clue about public policy. Dr. Oz, you know, to run for Senate in Pennsylvania, also didn't have a clue about public policy. And he recruited these extreme, kind of weird celebrity candidates because of their fealty towards him and his election denial. And there was a lot of blowback against that. So swing voters we saw in key swing areas of swing states were the people who turned both congressional elections, Senate elections in 2018 and 2022 towards Democrats, and cost Trump his reelection in 2020. Can Kamala Harris keep, you know, kind of keep those people in the Democratic column? That's the biggest question in the election going forward. And she's going to be focusing a lot on reproductive freedom, because right now that's about a 60-40 issue for Democrats. And that's an issue that plays well among those swing suburban voters that I just referenced. So expect to hear a lot from her about that, and expect to hear a lot from Republicans about immigration, which is the best issue for them this election cycle.
Jeff, you talked earlier about what a great bench the Democrats have going right now. Who would you personally like to see Kamala pick as her vice president?
I mean, who I personally would like to see is probably not going to get it. And I don't necessarily think he would be the ideal person electorally, but he's my buddy and I think he's fabulous. And that's Pete Buttigieg, who, if you watch Fox News, you see him as the person who the Biden administration has had the confidence in to send him to Fox News over and over because he is such an effective communicator, even with skeptical questioners. So I think, I think he would be fantastic. I don't necessarily think he'd be the best pick. And I'm, just being candid right now, it would be the first Black woman president. And Pete, who's openly gay and is married, would be the first openly gay vice president. That might be a lot of firsts for one ticket. And I'm not totally sure the country would be ready for that. And so, also, it may be better to have someone that's got a little more executive experience running a state, like one of the governors that I mentioned. And so, for those reasons, I think maybe an Andy Beshear of Kentucky, a Roy Cooper of North Carolina, kind of a more centrist Democrat with executive experience, two terms of governing experience in reddish or red states, would help, I think, make sure that Vice President Harris and our ticket doesn't get caricatured as effectively as like, this is a Bay Area wacky liberal, platform, but give it some more heartland, moderate feel. So Beshear of Kentucky, Cooper of North Carolina, maybe Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, one of those three swing state or red state governors would probably be the best electoral complement, despite my personal affinity for Pete Buttigieg.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Jeff.
Great to talk to you guys.
All right, short little segment here because we went so long with Jeff Smith, but that was great stuff. We have Sarah and Kevin coming up at the bottom of the hour. Michael Kelly's going to join us at the top of the next hour to talk about that. Cardinals baseball early today will be out at 4:30, weather permitting. It's raining in Pittsburgh right now. Sound like a song. And so we'll just kind of follow along with that. $17, huh?
$17 for coffees. It's just the...
Rach treated me to a coffee today.
I say, how many coffees? Three, four?
Just the two.
Glad I don't drink coffees.
But it's because I went
this
to the place
like
that makes...
This was like $1.30.
I went to the place that makes the $10 matcha, which is so good. Like, I don't want to say it's worth $10, but today it was worth it to me. I don't know.
We kind of let this happen to us. Right? I mean...
Well, I bought, I can't really complain. I knew how much it was going to be. Yeah. And I still spent the money, so...
Yeah.
Have you guys ever gotten into a situation where you're being rung up and you find out that it is a certain price that is way more than you were expecting to spend and you, you just go, I'm out. I can't.
Yeah, that happened to me on the East Side once. I don't know who you think you're talking to.
Wait, what room?
Yeah, I don't know if it's ever happened at like a barista ringing me up, but if I'm at the store or something and something, the tag is more than it said on the shelf, I'll be like, I thought that was less. Sorry.
I've definitely been in a position for example, drinks are made, they're sitting on the counter, they say, okay, that's how much it's going to be. And I go, I just got to turn it and run out of
no, but $30 for ice cream. Let's go.
We were in Charlotte, and we ended up with a 9-hour layover.
Yeah.
And Nick went, and he bought one of those thick magazines on the paranormal, and it was $27.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was like, at that point, I'm committed.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
235 DGS. Like Kamala, I appreciate your vote. We are up for Personality of the Year on STL Today, the St. Louis Headliners contest. And so if you go to our Facebook page, which hopefully you are a friend on already, we should put that on Instagram too.
Okay.
Wow, I thought that'd be a dumb thing to say.
No, I have no idea
what goes on Instagram.
Fantastic idea.
And then you can click through and vote for us. We need to put it out on the podcast too. How do we do that? Do we just do it now?
Yeah, we just did it just now. Okay. And I can highlight it.
So all you podcasters, 400,000 of you in Denver alone, I can't walk down the friggin' street in Denver. Mm-hmm. Just go to stltoday.com and vote for us once a day. It only lasts through this week, and that's it, and we'll leave you alone till our next major award. Just a little inside baseball, a little programming. I know that the way that we do this show sounds very slapdash and very easy breezy and very airy, which I'm very proud of because we work very hard to make it seem like that. But we do plan out the show. And we had Jeff Smith on at the top of the last hour. We have Michael Kelly on at the 3. We had Brad Young to be on later, but we are going to move Brad to later in the week because 3 guests talking about the same thing in a 4-hour show seems like overkill to me. And then I think about the hours that I spend watching CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, where they will literally talk about the same topic for hours on end. But I watch it.
But it annoys you, right?
It annoys me. And if I'm watching it with someone else, I'll say like, they're just going to say that they're going to ask the same thing. But I watch it. I don't know. Anyway, we're better than CNN.
I think that's the message.
That's the message.
Yeah.
Is CNN up for a headliner award?
I don't think so.
Haven't seen them.
The St. Louis Post-Dispatch has not recognized CNN.
No.
Nor should they.
Who are you until they do? Nobody.
Yeah.
And that's in spite of me making fun of animals.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they do that at CNN, though.
Yeah, I bet they do.
I have just laughed out loud on several occasions during the break, just thinking of Dave mocking animals and that being like a deal breaker.
You're that dumb bird.
Somebody sent
us. What are you talking about?
And the whole law firm is so mad about it.
Sent us an all capitals text saying that this guy's law firm is done with us. Because of Andrew's indulgent, meaningless episodes of eating hot dogs and Dave's insistence on making fun of animals.
Where did that even come from?
Zero idea.
I will say, when he said you don't care about your health, that cut deep.
That hurts.
Yeah, that's mean. Yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah. I mean,
my boy likes hot dogs.
It's not, I guess, necessarily incorrect. It's not something that I think about all the time.
You don't want to hear it.
Yeah, when you like really lay it out like that, it's like.
And then Amy famously thought that it was when we were talking about the monkey Uncle Fatty, and she said, "Oh, I bet it's when we talked about Professor Fatso."
Which I am going to start referring to him as Professor Fatso.
That's what we should call Amy because she's skinny.
It would be like the opposite joke.
Exactly.
You know? You have a Chihuahua named, you know,
Call Me Harry
Kong or something, right?
Yeah,
right.
Call Me Bangs.
Yeah.
Stairway to Kevin.
All right, so I'm not going to bore you guys with the video game talk because the new NCAA football game is back for the first time in 11 years, and it's amazing. It's amazing. They did a great job. The visuals are what you'd expect from the modern. The audio is amazing. Being in the game.
I have a selfish question.
Feels like it. Yes.
I'm not a gamer.
Yeah.
I don't know what the X does. I don't know what this does. Could I play it?
No, not if you don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's different mechanisms to
learning curve would be. Now, I didn't expect
like
to sit down and play.
Each button is going
to
represent, like if you're throwing a pass, each button represents a player that you could throw to. So your X receiver's here, your B receiver's there, your Y is over here.
You could learn it.
But you couldn't just sit down and play it.
Yeah, you couldn't pick up and immediately go, but it wouldn't take you long. It says, you know, if you want to run this play, hit X and then X and then square or whatever.
Like, I don't want to brag, but I'm pretty good at Mario Golf.
Yeah.
You know what? I was thinking you should play backyard baseball.
Oh, that you would enjoy. Yeah, you would enjoy. And again,
is that a dumbed down version?
Well, it's just a fun, like, you know, it's like little, like it's a kid's game, but
he
adults
said
play
it's
it.
For babies.
No. It's not for dorks like me. It's not for nerds that are going to be like, I want all the details.
I'm not a big gamer. I was able to play that whenever I was a kid and teenager, and it was like easy enough and fun enough. But you would have a blast playing it.
I know how Andrew feels.
No, it's really fun. It's
Kevin's
a really
like,
fun game.
Kevin's like, it's not for dorks like me. It's for big boys. It's for cool
No,
big
it's
boys.
For people that are just normies, not like. a weirdo that's like, no, I want it to look exactly like the player.
But no, backyard baseball games are awesome.
Here you go, Dave. Backyard baseball is good for you.
No, I'm just saying, if you wanted to play a baseball game, that would be a
those
good place
are,
to start.
Those games are a lot of fun.
It just takes a little time, Dave. You have the skills.
Yeah.
You have the brain. Like, you have quick, your mind is quick, so you could figure it out, but you'd have to play for a bunch of hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To that point, Nick is a gamer.
Yeah.
And his little brother, Jack, beats the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little brothers do not beat me.
Back to your...
So, the question I was going to ask you guys, because...
Hey, if you're listening and you're a little brother, don't even try.
I was like, at first, you guys are going to walk right past that?
Wow. Absolutely destroy anybody's 11-year-old brother.
Just didn't expect you to come down to my son so hard.
Sorry Nick doesn't have it in him, but I'm built different.
Yeah, I'm built different. No cap. I didn't mean to bring it up in the sense that we're going to get too detailed on NCAA football, but it's a thing that was really popular 11 years ago, and the fact that it's back has so many people so happy. Is there a thing from 10, 11, 12, 15 years ago that would make you that happy? Because I have had so much fun, like, being back in that world. Is there show? Is it a... I don't know, a pastime? I mean, maybe it's MySpace. is there something like in the past you'd be like, man, if I had that back, I'd be so happy.
Oh, and by the way, I thought we were talking about MLB The Show. That's why I said backyard baseball.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
Do you have a kiddie game for college football?
No,
there might
I don't.
Be. No, there might have been one. Was there one, Andrew?
I think there's backyard football. Yeah.
Is there backyard football also?
I think they made it for all the sports because baseball is really successful.
Yeah.
It's called NCAA for little tiny babies.
No. Not at all.
But do you miss something like that?
It's
like
called Hims Made a Touchdown.
Yeah,
for lame babies with no brains.
One button baseball.
I think that if it was something like that, it would have to be something that I was experiencing for the first time. Does that make sense? I'd love to go back and watch Mad Men for
the
first time.
I get what you mean. Yeah. Same.
I would love to ride motorcycles for the first time.
Because most things like... that are cool, like technologically advanced, right? Because that was what was so awesome about NCAA football 10, 11, 12 years ago. It's like, man, this is the best of the best. It's top of the line. Those things don't usually go away and then come back because usually they're replaced by something. This was a totally weird thing. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was wondering, are there other examples of that? Mm. Or is there a franchise you'd like to see more of? Is there like, because, you know, I'm a little bit like that with the House of the Dragon show right now. Mm-hmm. Like Game of Thrones was so amazing. And so much fun for so long. And now House of the Dragons just as good. And I'm so happy that it's back because it's something that's comparable.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, when the first season of And Just Like That came out, the sequel to Sex and the City, everyone trashed that show. And the show is not good. Like, I acknowledge it. But I enjoyed Sex and the City so much that just watching it and being in that universe again was fun. I haven't watched the second season of it because, again, it wasn't very good, but it was just nice existing in that zone again.
Yeah. Because this, like, what's cool about getting back to the NCAA football is you've got the nostalgia because, you know, guys like me played it from the time it first launched until it ended. And you have that nostalgia of going back and doing this thing that you've done before with all of the cool technology updates. Yeah. The audio is better. The video is even better. The visuals even better than it used to be. And you have the nostalgia combined with the hot, cool new thing that everybody's wanting to do.
This is really going to date me, but the most I was ever into a game was in television baseball.
Oh, my God. I love that so much. That's all. I mean, when we got an Intellivision for Christmas, my brother and I, one year, and it was like, oh, it's color. Now, there were two colors. It was blue and red. Although, the field was green, and you had that, and we played. The football game was fun on that.
Yeah.
The baseball game was fun. Skiing was awesome. Downhill skiing. Was it called alpine skiing or something like that? Pitfall. Pitfall was so good.
You are about 8 years younger than me, but did you have the little Mattel handhelds?
Oh, football, yeah. The little red dot stuff. Moving.
I still have mine.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Those were nonstop car trip games. Yeah. We'd go through so many batteries.
We had those when I was a kid.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were a little better when you were a kid. Like, they had advanced to a little bit bigger screen.
Yeah.
And things like that. But yeah, those were awesome where you had like, I can't remember how many rows. It was like three or four rows and you had to like time it to go through. Almost like Frogger. It's kind of like football Frogger.
You got so good at the racing game that if you got hit once, you just quit and started over.
There's not a bathroom in the Stoles household that does not have the Yahtzee handheld game. Man, those Yahtzee handheld games were
Can you play a whole game in there?
I can.
It's all those hot dogs.
You need less hot dogs. Okay.
All right.
Sounds
that's
good.
That's a you can't beat that ending.
Top of the hour, we'll be talking to Michael Kelly, get his thoughts on what's going on in politics. So, Andrew, you've taken a couple shots today. Your rambling segments, which are my favorite. Your love of processed meats.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's try to rehabilitate your reputation. Uh-huh. How did your first time as a D&D Dungeon Master go on Friday?
It went very well.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Racking up dogs.
How were the hot dogs?
Well, we had pizza, actually.
Oh, good call.
Pizza Head, which is a place on Grand that has... Like,
did it work going upstairs?
It did not work going up. There were multiple parties up there. And let me and not adventuring parties full of heroes, brave and bold. Mm,
I see.
And so, you know, walking up there with my, I had a backpack on that said Ladue School District on it.
Always seems welcoming.
Got it for free from here, so I literally looked like I was going to school in Ladue.
Were they adversarial?
No, not at all. Because I like immediately saw what was going on, like all the groups of other adults, and so I got in the. Elevator went back down. We played in the country.
Okay.
I like how Andrew says he looked like he was going to school in Ladue, even though he has a full beard and he's 34 years old.
He's like, yeah, there are 30-year-old men in school there.
I think I'm a student, probably.
Yeah, they think probably. I just got off of school.
We do have the spookiest conference room, so.
Yeah, it was a very scary conference room. I was worried that people would be here and like see us and hear us, so I like closed the door and drew the blinds down and all manner of security. The conference room works great for this, it turns out. It's like just the right size.
Yeah. Yep. Any highlights from the game?
Were any orcs killed?
Let's see. There were no
or shamed.
So there are no
shaming the orc.
No, but I did start playing that game again and I started thinking about shaming the orc.
During COVID, sitting there watching Nick play endless video games and
the Lord of the Rings.
And it had captions.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
And at one point I said, did you just shame an orc?
Yep.
And then he seemed shamed. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you could bully him a little bit.
You either have the choice to kill them or shame them and bully them and then they
You could also swing them to your side, right? But that was harder to do.
Yeah, you really had to shame them. To get them to turn them their back on Sauron. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
That's true.
He was playing Red Dead Redemption, and you know, he's got his gun and he's doing all his stuff. And I'm like, what if you just shot that lady in the face? He's like, well, let's find out. Like, you can do that? He's like, you can do anything.
Yeah.
But it hurts your reputation.
Right.
It makes you less honorable. So people become
a lady face shooter?
People are more likely to see you as, just that guy that shot that woman in the face for no reason.
Yeah. So for all of those games, too, like those decisions impact what other characters will interact with you and how they'll interact with you.
I see.
So if you do that, then maybe some other character where you want to go on the mission, they won't even talk to you because they don't like you, so you don't get to do that mission.
Oh, I have a Kamala question. What is the reference to falling out of a coconut tree?
Because she has a viral video. She was like, you think you fell out of a coconut tree? We exist in the context of everything that came before us. And I think that's what she says. I think that's the
basically,
quote.
Basically, there's like, give or take a couple words.
We should just get the sound and play it all the time because it is extremely funny.
It's kind of her version of the you got a bug on you.
And in classic Kamala fashion, after saying that you think you just fell out of a coconut tree, she goes like...
it's
pretty
great.
So is it making fun of her thing?
It's a silly thing, yeah.
I think it started as making fun of her, and now it's like, we love...
Like a rallying thing?
Yeah, kind of.
Become kind of endearing.
It's like, put me up in that coconut tree.
Especially since, unfortunately, when you really think about what she said, you're like, it's not nonsense. Like, it does make sense.
It makes sense if you think about it.
I learned of Biden withdrawing when... I don't know whether it was Wheeler or Andrew who texted first.
Wheeler.
But then Andrew said, I just fell out of a coconut tree.
And I was like, same. Me too, brother.
I you got to keep the old dudes hipped on these things.
Sitting at home like, what the hell does that mean?
Like, Andrew's drunk again.
Dave's like kids these days.
Andrew's drunk on Cracker Barrel spritzers.
watermelon
spritzer.
Well, I'm glad I almost said Airbnb again. I said that on Friday night. I was leaving and I was like, well, have fun at your Airbnb.
Yeah, have fun playing Airbnb.
Well, that works too.
I mean, we've had those stories too.
That's true. It's easy to get confused.
I told you guys I got another one of those, didn't I? another Airbnb or like,
yeah, because we were trying to get you a hotel and we found like $70 hotels and you refused to.
It's like a two-room Airbnb and she's going to be in the other one.
You did it again?
Yeah, I did a worse one, uneven sketch.
Yeah, I think we did this when you were gone.
This is just like his thing now. Now I'm trying to save him
anymore. Once is a mistake.
Yeah, now this is becoming
it's a pattern.
Twice is a lifestyle.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is becoming more of a choice.
I'm a hot couch guy.
Because when we were doing it, like all four of us, because Amy and Ron were here too, and we were all like looking up like, Andrew, there's like $65 hotel rooms right there. And he's like, I don't care.